morning. Today's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray by your Spirit you'll help us to apply these words to our lives today, that we may grow in understanding how to live as you intend us. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was at Ridley Hall trying to be a vicar, there was an evangelistic mission to the University of Cambridge with a guest speaker. I went along in support and to see how the speaker would go about his task. The lecture hall was packed full of students, and the speaker gave his case as to who Jesus is. I was expecting him to call to the front those who wanted to respond. However, he did the opposite. He said, "Leave now if this isn't for you." The vast majority of the students stood up and streamed out towards the exit. Then the speaker said, "Now if you want to follow Jesus, come to the front." So a handful of students got up and made their way to the front, but it was a real struggle as the majority were heading towards the exit. The speaker then said to those who came forward, "This is how it will be as a Christian. You will be living against the flow of the majority of society." It's really impacted and has stayed with me since, to see how he went about saying that following Jesus means that you're going to be different. It means that you're not going to be able to necessarily carry on living the kind of life that you were before. He kind of put the cost up front so that those who made that commitment knew what they were taking on. So in today's section of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he's calling them to live a holy life, a holy life. But what does it mean to be holy? Does it mean to wear socks and sandals and to go about with an expression of a pickled prune, a holier than thou face? That's what many people might think, but no, that's not holiness. Holy simply means being set apart for God, to be different because God is different. Hence part of our purpose statement here at the Church of the Good Shepherd. Tomorrow can be different for us all. It's subtly implying this thing about holiness, this thing about changing, to become more Christ-like, to be living in the good news and the flow of the Spirit. So how we live and act and treat others and ourselves is dependent upon our values. But where do our values come from? Our values depend on what we believe. So belief leads to values, and then values lead to how we respond to our actions in certain circumstances. So this is why Paul's usual way of writing his letters is to remind the reader of what God is like in Jesus. That is to say, what it is we believe about Jesus before telling us what it means to live out in response to him. He puts it in that order. It's what God has done for us first, and then it's about our response. So as we're getting into chapter 3, in the middle of the letter to the Colossians, this switch is coming. There's been a lot from Paul about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And now he's saying, well, what is our response? It's the so what of belonging to Jesus and following his ways. And that the so what is in fact what holiness is all about. In Christ we've been set free. And this was the subject of last week's sermon. But what's our method of deciding what we'll do with this new freedom? The Colossians were living in a pagan society. It was a pretty much anything goes culture. So that was the context. But as these Colossian individuals came to this new relationship with Jesus and following him, then how were they to live their lives? So you've got this fairly libertarian society on one side, but on the other hand, there were those who were wanting the Christians to take on board the rules and regulations of a sort of Judaism. What we eat and drink and festivals to celebrate and so on. So there are two extremes here. There's sort of the legalism of religion on the one hand, living to lots of rules and regulations, but then on the other hand is what you might call license, accommodating the prevailing culture, doing what you want because you're free. But Paul's proposing a third way. As followers of Jesus, we're connected to Jesus. More than this, as Paul has written, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. What's true of Jesus is true of us. As we've come to Jesus, we've died to ourselves and we've been raised to new life with him. And that's why Paul says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What was hidden in Jesus, as he puts it, is now revealed to us. I once saw a cartoon with two captions. I tried to find it to put it on the screen, but I can't find it, but I can remember it so well. There's this guy who sees a fence, and on it there's a sign that says, "Do not cross." The man says, "I'm not going to have my freedom limited." And he leaps over the fence. The next picture shows that the fence is actually along a cliff edge. And having jumped the fence, the man falls down the sheer drop. As Christians, we're holy, set apart to live in the world. Not called to be separate from the world, rather to live in the world in a different kind of way. So what are the guidelines for us in order to be able to do this? The Bible isn't a rule book as such. After all, we have to deal with circumstances that couldn't have been imagined at the time the Bible was written. But the Bible is a book of truth. It strengthens us with our relationship with Jesus. And embedded within it, there are eternal principles that we need to follow and values that are absolute. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to apply these to our life situations. Paul was addressing two major issues in Colossae, and these can apply any time, anywhere. And it's why these subject matters are brought up in the Bible, because the temptations in these areas are all part of our human makeup, and that hasn't changed. They both begin with the letter S, namely sex and speech. Both of these things are a gift from God. They're both very powerful, and just like fire, can be used and abused. Misuse of speech and sex lead to damage to individuals and to a community and to a church community. And Paul was very anxious to get this straight with these new Christians in Colossae. Paul writes, "Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry." One of the prime examples of that from the Old Testament is the action of King David, illustrating this very human tendency. Greatest king of Israel, but nonetheless tempted and flawed when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Lust and evil desires and greed, as these things are listed out there by Paul, they what led to the action for him to have sex with a woman who was not his wife. And the consequences for King David was devastating and leading to dysfunction in his family. Although David repented and sought God's forgiveness, the consequences to him and to his family were considerable. Just like the fence in the cartoon story I've just given, God gives us boundaries to protect us and others. Paul says that refusing to observe these godly boundaries makes us subject to God's wrath. This does not mean an out-of-control, vindictive anger. People often say, how can a loving God be wrathful? But it's God's righteous anger against injustice and sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to worship a God who is not angry about the action of abusing children or doing financial scams on vulnerable people. So what is the eternal principle that's embedded in the Bible for our intimate relations? The key word is purity. Whether single or married, God is calling us to purify our intimate relations. And he's also calling us to purity in the second S. And the second S is for speech. So again, quoting Paul from our reading, he quotes things that to be got rid of: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and telling lies. Quite a list. And it would seem that they were quite a rum lot in Colossae from the basis of this list. And social media wasn't even invented when the New Testament was written. I'm sure many people wouldn't say face to face what they write online. The way we speak to one another is an overflow of what's going on inside us. And then this bursts out into the open as an overflow when we're put under pressure. Speaking to one another in the wrong way and speaking about others in the wrong way leads to division in the community. But purity in our speech encourages one another and builds us all up. So much for what we die to or what we put off. How about what we put on, like a change of clothes? Paul's list here: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and together with an attitude of forgiveness, forgiving and being forgiven. Even these words sound better than the ones in the previous two lists. And over all these virtues, put on love, writes Paul. So I've mentioned the two kind of poles, the opposites, in trying to live out lives in a godly way. Legalism full of rules, or license where you do whatever you feel like because you're free. But the third way, the third L, is love. Legalism, license, love. Doing to others as you would have them do to you. Love is what flows from Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul has an overriding concern in his letters to all the churches that he writes to. He wanted the Colossian Christians to be united. He wanted the church to be at peace with one another. The peace that comes from within and flows out to others. Let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. This is the power of God working in us through the community as we gather and learn from God's word and from one another. The closer we get to Jesus, the more of his character and ways flow out. We're even teaching one another as we worship together. Our corporate worship directs our minds and hearts towards Jesus, and as we do so, the Holy Spirit fills us afresh. The words and of the songs bring God's truth into our lives. Do you wake up sometimes in the morning with a tune and words of songs going through your mind? The tune makes the words stick. Paul speaks of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's the difference between these? Well, they all overlap to a degree. Psalms, specifically the 150 poems in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, which enable us to express our thoughts and emotions towards God. It's some of the words, just letting God have it, just saying, I'm confused, I don't understand, I'm in trouble, where are you? And that reassurance constantly coming across that God is God and that he is with us. And hymns, where we sing truths about God and containing teachings of the faith, where we sing those words, somehow they get into our spirits more deeply. And then spiritual songs, where we sing directly to God with words of intimacy and love, maybe even using the gift of tongues, where our spirit's connecting directly with God's spirit. Using these when we worship together enables us to set our minds on what is above, and then draw down the resources of heaven for that holy life. So let me just bring one final story by way of illustration of living in God's ways. Do you remember the fairy tale of the princess and the frog? And she kisses the frog and he becomes the handsome prince. Well, some years later, at a banquet with the princess and the prince sitting at the table in the place of honour, the prince sees a fly and he suddenly jumps up, puts out his tongue and gobbles up the fly. The princess looks aghast. "But sorry," says the prince, "I know I'm a prince, but sometimes I revert to being a frog." As followers of Jesus, our state is no longer as sinners, but as saints. We're no longer frogs. We're princes and princesses in God's kingdom. The word saint is simply another translation of the Greek word, the same word, meaning holy. So, we're all saints. Turn to your neighbour and say, "You're a saint." Sometimes we forget and lapse into ways that are not God's best for us. But we're all saints, and the equation balances when we fall short, when we receive the gift of forgiveness afresh again. So let's encourage one another to be holy, to be saints, and to give the final word to St. Paul. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So today I really want our response to be that, to give thanks to God through Jesus. And we can do that as we sing some more hymns and spiritual songs and set our hearts and minds on what's above and become more and more like Jesus as God's holy and chosen people.